local and vocal at AM 1360 and FM 94.9 during your drive home.
You talking to me? You talking to me?
It's Drive Time Live with Mark Hahn on KSCJ.
All right, we are back again. We are talking about in the news. We see what's happening in the Straits of Hormuz and the British tanker that was detained. My guest here is retired Lieutenant Colonel Sargis Singari. Sargis, good to have you with me, and thank you very much for your service.
Oh, thank you very much for your service, for everything you guys do for us, and it is a pleasure to be here.
You are Iranian-born, correct?
Yes, I am.
How long have you been here in the United States?
Well, I'm an Assyrian Christian, so as soon as the revolution started, we immigrated to the United States. So I left when I was 10 years old and came here and served in the military for 20 years, retired lieutenant colonel, U.S. Army Infantry and Special Operational Forces background.
What do you make of what's going on in Iran? Is it a desperation because of sanctions that have been put against them, or is this theocracy just out of control?
It is the sanctions that have been put against them, but in that process, there's a negotiation that is taking place for a possible new deal, and these are all part of the maturations of a new negotiation as to how the two parties come to the table and who's stronger than the other in what capacity.
There's genocide that's been happening in Middle East, too, a Syrian genocide. There's an article that you had put out here just recently, Stop the Assyrian Genocide Before It's Too Late. Could you explain to folks who are really not that familiar, and I can count myself as one with a lot of Middle Eastern history, the Assyrian, most people, if they're not listening completely, they're thinking you're saying Syrian.
Correct. Look, the Assyrians are the root of Christianity. Jesus Christ spoke Aramaic, and the Assyrians carried on those Judeo-Christian traditions, expanded Christianity throughout the Middle East, all the way into Mongolia, China, and including Japan. So the spread of Christianity in the Middle East was because the Assyrians as a nation accepted the mantle of Christianity and spread it throughout the entire Middle East region and throughout Asia. So ISIS has targeted the root of Christianity, trying to ensure that it's wiped off, at least from the Middle East, and the Assyrians are the descendants of the ancient Assyrian Empire, and do their best to try to preserve that root as much as possible within the region.
Is this an attack on Christianity in the Middle East? I mean, you have the Kurds, which are not Christian, are they? But then you have the Zetis as well, that are Christian-based, aren't they?
The Yazidis trace themselves much closer to the ancient Assyrians than they do to the Kurds. There has been an information operational campaign to say that the Yazidis are Kurds, and they are not. The Kurds are Sunni Muslims, majority, or they have some Shiites in them, but they are an Islamic culture and an Islamic ethnicity. The Assyrian Christians, unfortunately, have been marginalized within the region because the area, which is their historical homeland, which we refer to as Assyrian-Nubian Plain, has been targeted both by the Kurdish Sunni Muslims and the Iraqi Arab as to being the area that they would like to develop for future natural resources. And that is the area that does link Syria and Iraq and is a strategic strong point that currently Iran is using to be able to push its wants and desires equipment through the Kurdish regional government with their approval into Syria and all the way into Lebanon.
Retired Lieutenant Colonel Sargis Singari is my guest here on Drive Time Live. We're talking about the Assyrian genocide that's happening, but also what's happening in the Middle East, in particular the Straits of Hormuz with Iran, and this shooting down an American drone, and then the President Trump not retaliating, as many people thought he would, and then the Iranians had a drone shot down, but they denied it.
Correct. From the reports that are still out there, it was possible that it might be in a drone that belonged to the UAE that was shot down, because some of our Arab allies have stated that. It doesn't really matter what the information operational campaign behind that concept is. The reality is that there's an internal fight in Islam that is taking place in the Middle East, where Shia Islam is trying to be the lead for the Islam globally. At the same time, Saudi is trying to be the lead of Sunni Islam and possibly all of Islam within the region. And with Iran retaliating against the U.S. interests in the region and the Western interests in the region, is basically showing that, you know, we're winning the war as to who should be the lead of Islam, because while we're fighting against the West, and to include the United States, Saudi Arabia is striking deals with them and is allowing Israel to have overflight capabilities over Saudi Arabia. So this continuous fight will take place, and our recommendation for the POTUS has been in the past to kind of wait it out and do not get sucked into this Islam fight that is taking place between the Shia and the Sunni.
U.S. Army Lieutenant Colonel retired Sargis Sangari, with 6 years of combat deployment into the Middle East. You're CEO of the Near East Center for Strategic Engagement and a founder of the United Assyrian Appeal, a diplomat in diplomat status in Kuwait, and also director of Host Nation Affairs, Special Op Forces, and you're running for 2020 Congress in the 9th District of Illinois. Why, it's a tough stage to try to step on to, Colonel, you know, and especially in Illinois, pretty liberal state.
It is. They're pushing me to run. We haven't made that decision yet, but I think a lot of times is being pushed for us. Look, bottom line is, if you don't have money, you're not going to be able to win. So the hopes is, if you have raised enough money, we should be able to run in the 9th. If not, we may not run this year. The last time I ran, because the National Security Council, I put pressure on a deputy assistant in state to come down and meet with me in Illinois. I realized that a document that we had U.S. side worked on for 6 years was sitting on his desk. He had never looked at it. So after leaving that meeting, I was so frustrated. I came home and I told my wife that until you have a place at the seat at the table, we have no say with these bureaucrats. So I decided to run for 5 months. We garnered close to 8,000 votes. Today, I've been asked multiple times to try to run. But the bottom line is, if we made that decision to run, we would have to have some money in our coffers to be able to run in Illinois, especially given it's an open primary. If you come in with no dollars behind you, the person you're running against at the other party will run someone within your own primary to beat you.
Let's revert back here into the Middle East, and you need to just have a lot of friends, though, too, to run. You know, friends who have money. You don't necessarily have to have the money, but it certainly doesn't hurt. But friends who have money, that's the key there. Let's talk about the difference between Sunni and Shia. Many people hear these words that are used, Sunni and Shia, for the different sects of Muslim in the Middle East, in particular between Saudi Arabia and countries like Iran. The difference is philosophic differences. Who is harder to deal with? Or are they both? Are they just too busy fighting each other?
They belong to different mindsets. The problem was, when Muhammad established the Islamic religion, it was really Sunni-based. So the Sunni, being Arab Bedouin, ran into the culture of Persia, which is currently Shia, and the two mindsets could not work together. So at a technical level, it was very hard to try to get these two different cultures to work together, one being tribal, the other one having a historical historical background of being an empire and having different cultural aspects that be associated with major empires, which the Bedouin did not have. This concept, this infighting, has always taken place. The problem that you see currently in the region is where the Sunnis have the dollars, the money, because they sit on rich oil landscapes. However, the Persian is able to project the Shia concept of a unity much better than the Arab Sunni is, which you see it manifest itself in the capability of Iran to be able to muster support even in Sunni states like Iraq, where Shia Arabs are willing to fight on behalf of Iran more than they are willing to fight on behalf of their own state of Iraq.
Will we ever? I know that you had left in 1980, Iran. You said the revolution was going on. Where does Iran sit as far as, how do you work with people with Iran? At one time, they seemed to be wanting to trend toward a democracy. The younger people there wanted to trend toward a democracy. But the theocracy took over instead.
It did, unfortunately, regardless of what their wants and desires might be, even if you have a regime change within the region, it's still an Islamic Republic. And ever since the establishment of the Islamic Republic, the entire region has gone towards Islam. At the end of the day, Islam is the main platform on which laws are made and executed and supported. So that needs to be a concept that we have to understand to include Iraq, which is an Islamic-based republic, even though it's more friendlier to the U.S., before Iran ever became an Islamic Republic, Iranian businessmen were in much better shape, even their middle class, than anyone in the U.S. was. While the U.S. businessmen were basically trying to make headways with the issues of oil sanctions and the economy not being good in the U.S. under Carter, Iranian businessmen were flying into Paris. During the day, they were shopping there, eating a late dinner, and then coming back and sleeping there in their own beds. However, when they were offered after regime change with the Shah leaving to choose what they wanted for their own protection, they chose an Islamic State. The philosophy that drives an Islamic State is always in the region and is the same philosophy that has led to Al-Qaeda Iraq, and currently ISIS. And will manifest itself in other possible movements in the future.
We ever going to see any stability there? Any way that the United States and Iran will actually come to terms and try to make Iran a better place as well as the rest of the world safer?
You will see. You will see a functional peace. You'll never see a true peace. In that process, I think what is happening today in Iran, Iran is the only nation that was able to bring all the Five Eyes into the negotiation table, struck an initial deal with the United States on the previous POTUS, and today is trying to work to strike a new deal. That capability that Iran has, that projection of power it can show within the region, cannot be seen within any other Sunni state that is out there that wants to be the least for Islam. And in that capacity, I think once we get to a new deal, maybe in the future a treaty with Iran, you will see Iran as an ascending power within the region.
Well, I hope so. They get some stability there in the Middle East because right now they're one of the world's greatest suppliers of terrorism and the things that go with it. They've been supplying people with weapons that are used against our own troops as well. So hopefully we can get something going and make it a little bit more stable and a peaceful place. I think it would be better for the world if we could do that. Retired Lieutenant Colonel.
It's not peaceful.
Go ahead.
I'm sorry, but I was going to say, if it's not a peaceful place, you're on the brink of having another decade of war that would be bloodier than the last decade. So let's hope that the more capable minds prevail and we're able to get to a functional peace.
And I hope so with you. Thank you for taking the time. Retired Lieutenant Colonel Sargas Sangari, my guest here on Drive Time Live. Thank you for taking the time to be with me here today. Look forward to having you back on again here in the future.
Anytime, and God bless.
Same to you.
Hi, this is Jesse with Satellite Central, your local Dish Premier retailer. Are you frustrated not getting all the channels you pay for with your current satellite TV provider? We have a